I was single when beards weren't cool, and I would find guys with beards, and I would want to touch them, you know, and I would give them all this attention, and they thought I was weird, so they were like, Wendy, you should just go to barber school and become a barber, and then you can play with beards all day. And I was like, yes, that's it.
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho businesses, groups, and locations that you always drive by but never seem to visit. I'm Joel Wayne, and this is my co-host, LD Lacey Daly.
Hi.
Hi.
I do that every time. So before we kick off this week's nomination for our field trip, I was wondering if maybe we could steal a little airtime and talk about ourselves.
Okay.
I think it's important for people to know maybe who the heck we are and why we're doing this. We talked about, I think in the first episode, where the inspiration for the podcast came from.
Sure.
But, you know, it is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. But I really want to put it out there that neither of us are journalists.
Not at all.
By any stretch.
No.
We actually have no idea what we're doing.
No. No, we're both writers, predominantly. That's the background that we come from, which is where we met. Through the MFA program, the Master of Fine Arts program in creative writing at Boise State. And so I think more than anything, we just had an interest in this. You had taken a class,
oh,
right?
Yeah, the radio essay class. Yeah. And it was fun. And I think seeing podcasts exploding as a medium kind of makes sense as a place that writers want to feel out and experiment
sure.
with.
Sure. A new medium.
Yes. But audio storytelling is certainly a beast all its own. And I think that it was something we decided we were both interested in and wanted to tackle together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we got that off our chest, or at least for me, because I was worried people would just assume I was a journalist and then judge me.
Right. I feel like to a certain extent, I was trying to avoid that out of the gate. And then now, or that we were both trying to avoid that out of the gate. And now, I don't know, maybe being a couple episodes in, it became something that we did need to do, was establish
yes.
who we are.
Yes.
Who were not. and really where this came about. So, yeah.
Cool.
All right. So this week.
This week.
What do we got?
I would like to go explore. Now, this is going to come out of left field.
Okay.
The Beardsmith.
The Beardsmith. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm
fit. You know
okay.
the, do you
I
know
do.
The Beardsmith?
I do. I know the place. That's the name of this podcast. I think it's on Overland, or it had been.
It had
on
been.
Overland.
So I looked it up, and that's where I had seen it before too. But they moved.
Okay.
They're now on Glenwood, but we're going anyways.
Okay.
And it is a place that focuses a lot, most of its business around the beard, the facial yeah. hair of men.
The facial hair of men.
Yes. And it's
like the tagline: Beardsmith, the facial hair of men.
And honestly, facial hair or body hair in general kind of makes me uncomfortable. I have a very small, limited tolerance for it. And I'll probably be entirely uncomfortable.
It feels kind of almost backwards, doesn't it, from the – because I feel like back in the day, and this could be a misperception of mine, is that you would get a haircut – and then a shave, you know, or something would have been kind of the add-on.
Right.
It almost reminds me of something like the Boise Fry Company.
Yes.
Which they say it's fries first and then
no, that's
burgers
a good analogy.
Kind of being
yeah.
the second piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is your central concern?
Did you like those chimes?
I really liked those. What's the thing that you want to find out?
I want to find out so much, but I think... And, you know, a lot of our central concerns are like, how do you stay afloat and who's your clientele? And I think a lot of that is implied in almost all of these brick and mortar places that
sure.
we go. But a big question that I have about a place like this is like, why now? Why do you see this beard culture? I mean, there are all those online subscriptions for like beard oils and shave kits.
Yeah.
And a sudden interest in that kind of male hygiene. And not to say that it wasn't like that 20 years ago, but could a storefront like this have existed 20 years ago? To the fact where, I mean, they were on Overland and have now moved. I assume that you're doing okay in business if you can relocate.
Sure.
Right?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great question too. Why now? Mm-hmm. And could this have existed 20 years ago? And I'll be honest, I don't have a beard, and I don't know if I could really grow a beard. It doesn't.
I was going to ask you if you could for this field trip, but I didn't want to put you out.
It doesn't come in thick enough, and because I've tried before, and it's just too light of hair, and so it doesn't really work. But It's funny though, you mentioned all those different items that are targeted towards men with beards. And I find myself like looking at those, like I'll be at places and I'll be looking at beard oil or these different things. And it's like, oh, wow, I have this envy for it, even though I don't know if I would actually want a beard, but it's something that I wish I had the option to have.
That's true. I could see that. Yeah. It's kind of like maybe nail salons for women. I know I could go in there and not feel out of place, but let's be honest. Can you see me taking care of my nails? No. I'm super stoked about the Beardsmith, though. On their website, they always capitalize the word beard.
Okay.
And it says, because the beard should be respected. So I am so looking forward to be thwarted out of my comfort zone and maybe talk about the symbolism behind the beard.
Yeah. Don't take the beard's name in vain.
I'll try my best.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
Okay. Let's go do it.
All right.
Okay. We just pulled up.
I've driven by this place. I kind of live over here. And never knew it was here because the only thing I know in this plaza is this huge bingo sign, this bingo hall. And if you look out by the street, it's Glenwood Country, which I'm sure is the name of this little
right.
plaza. But the only thing that you can really see here is the bingo stuff.
That's true. Yeah, it's kind of this huge, I don't know why we're describing the bingo sign because that's not where we're going, but it's like this huge, almost like Wild West bingo sign. But yeah, it's the Beardsmith is two doors down from that.
Yeah, and it says the Beardsmith Barbershop, and it looks like their logo is like a skeleton corpse skull thing with a beard, naturally.
I actually really like the logo. It would look really cool in like a beanie or a hat or something.
The skull is wearing a beanie, do you see?
Maybe that's what I thought.
I was hoping that maybe we could catch somebody coming or going so we could, you know, just
follow them in.
Yeah. But I guess we're just gonna have to go in and find out.
All right, let's do it.
All right. I'm gonna make you go in first. Hello. This is kind of what I imagined it would look like. Okay, let's maybe walk around. It smells good in here.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but there seems to be some beard grease that you could try. Man mist, peppermint with hints of spice, old school razor, paraphernalia. It's kind of rustic. Very manly.
Yeah, a lot of wood, right? Yep. There's wooden brick.
Yeah. And I like their front counter is like a truck grill.
So we walk around the store for a little bit, looking awkward with all of our equipment, as usual. And we're looking at cans of beard grease and checking out their wall of branded T-shirts and beanies and hats before we talk to someone at the front desk who introduces us to the shop owner.
Wendy, she's the owner.
Hi, I'm Lacey.
Nice
and this is my
you.
Friend Joel.
I'm Joel. Hi, Joel. Nice to meet you.
We work for Public Radio, Boise Public Radio, and we're doing a podcast
about
businesses in Boise that you drive by a lot of times, but you're not always sure what's going on in there and what they do. And the
nice.
Beardsmith was on our list for today.
Yay!
So we thought we would come in.
Awesome!
Maybe, yeah, if we could look around and if you could talk with us. And I know you guys just moved here, she said, 6 weeks ago?
Yes. Yeah, right after Thanksgiving we moved over here.
So it's very put together already. I like the style. I like the vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, this is, you know, it was a collaborative effort between myself and the owner of the business, the whole property. His name is Troy Jackson, and he's my client. He begged me for over a year to move next to him because he was redoing this bar, and I just didn't see how it was possible. But because we have such a great clientele, they all came together to help us, like, actually build this spot. And so this would not have been possible without our clients, and so we're just super lucky, and it's just been really great. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
It seems a lot larger than your previous location up there too.
It's a little, it's a little over 2,000 square feet now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we have another 2,000 square feet on the other side that we need to develop, and we're going to offer more services, a beard grease bar where you can make your own scents and everything. So it's going to be like this super rad thing. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even realize, that's partitioned off there. So
and
we've got
when our clients come in, we actually give them one of these, and one of these guys, and so they get a beer on us. So they take it next door, and they get any beer they want, and they can bring it over here because there's a liquor license that goes throughout the property. So.
Okay, real quick. Wendy opens a drawer here behind the front desk and pulls out a wooden nickel with their logo on it. We should also note that the bar next door is actually connected via an open garage door, which takes up about a third of the Beardsmith's right-facing wall.
A lot of people congregate like around this spot, which was kind of like another collaborative effort of doing the big door and everything. So
each week when we go into a place, one of us nominates a place, and we have this central concern that is driving why we want to go there. My central concern about this place was all centered around the beard and kind of the culture of the beard.
Yeah.
And I'm just so curious because I feel like a place like this, you guys do just hair and stuff too, right?
We do. We specialize in classic men's haircuts, really stylish kind of cuts like razor fades, pompadours, 50s, 40s styles. And then we also specialize in beard maintenance and trimming, and we straight razor shave all of our clients when they come in. So they don't just get a beard trim, they get like a whole experience.
Do you think that a place like this that offers that whole experience to men, I mean, I'm sure that's your clientele, could have existed 20 years ago? Do you think that there was an interest in that, or enough to have a business this lucrative where you could even relocate and have this much space?
Well, I think there's always been this weird thing with the beard. Like, when men grew beards back 20 years ago, it was like you're trying to hide something. It wasn't acceptable. Men were told to shave their beards and not have beards. And now, in this day and age, men, I think it's a movement where men are starting to they're starting to embrace their manhood. And the reason why I wanted to start the Beardsmith was so that men felt like good about themselves, so that they could go out in the community and their beards actually look good. They're not being called homeless or whatever the weird stereotypes
were. Like, it's more part of the style rather than,
Yeah, so it's like that razor faded haircut with the beard being all nice and shaped, it just really makes a guy look like, oh, he takes care of himself, rather than the beard being something different 20 years ago where, oh, he's just lazy, you know? It's a completely different thing now.
So how did you get involved? You don't have a beard. You obviously have to be a fan of beards. How did you get involved in the business?
Honestly, I just love beards. I've always loved beards my whole life, and my friends thought I was nuts and weird.
I think you're a little nuts. I'm not sure how I feel about facial hair yet, but I mean, if you're going to take care of it, maybe I could get on board.
Yeah, and you know, I was single like 5 years ago, and when beards weren't cool, and I would find guys with beards, and I would want to touch them, you know, and I would give them all this attention, and they thought I was weird, so they were like, Wendy, you should just go to barber school and become a barber, and then you can play with beards all day. And I was like, yes, that's it. And so I, you know, checked it out. Didn't learn anything about beards in barber school, but I found this guy, his name is Jeff Summers, and he's my business partner. And he could grow an awesome beard, so I experimented on him, and I developed my own techniques and found barbers who are willing to learn those techniques, and we create consistency with our brand, and we do those techniques on our clients, and they work, and they love it, and it just works. And they don't just get a beard trim, and that's the whole thing, is like we go above and beyond when it comes to the beard. We focus on that. When they get a haircut, we also focus on that, but it's kind of like this is our special thing that we do. And bringing that old school tradition back of the shave, that's kind of, it's like a shave, a beard trim, and a facial all in one.
Okay, would you like a while you wait?
Wow. Yeah. That sounds good.
That does sound good. And you guys seem very busy. Is it like this?
We have 7 barbers. We had 4 barbers when we moved. We have 7 now. We are booked every day, but we have daily and next day openings every day now, where we were booked out like 4 months and 6 months before.
So you can, more walk-up traffic. That's nice.
Not so much walk-ins. I mean, it's day of, day before, you know, like if a guy comes in, he wants to make an appointment the same day, we can get him in a little later. So we do appointments so that we can take our time with our clients. We like to schedule time so that we can really spend some time with them.
And so how long, I don't even know if I've asked you that in asking your story, how long have you been doing this?
4 years.
4 years?
Yeah, but the shop opened
Well, it's more like 3 years. So I was in school 4 years ago.
Okay.
Barber school. So within 4 months after I got out of barber school, I had over 400 to 500 clients, and I had to get my own space.
You timed it like perfectly. The beard made a crazy comeback. And I was wondering, I was thinking about that, like, why now? What is it? Do you think social media has anything to do with it?
Definitely. Yeah. I think social media, I think, people just deciding, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to grow my beard. Oh, and I'm going to go to this place that knows how to cut my beard in a way that makes me look good, and then they get these compliments, and they just, I think guys get kind of addicted to that, that attention. It's like, whoa, I've never gotten this attention before, and it just became kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So it started on the internet, and then it just kind of grown from there.
Yeah, I mean, so. They are like your walking advertisements, right? Mm-hmm. Some guy who has a beard or wants to have a beard but doesn't want to look scraggly. If you see somebody who has it done nice.
I would say 99.9% of our clientele comes from other people referring them to us. So we rarely...
That's huge.
Yeah, we did some radio advertising, and we actually had to stop doing it because we were pissing people off because we were having to turn them away. So...
What a terrible problem to have.
Wendy encourages us to walk around and talk to some other people in the shop, and we take her up on it, chatting with a bearded customer named John, beer in hand, who is just taking a seat in one of the barber chairs.
Are you a regular, John?
Yeah, I come in probably every 3 months.
3 months?
Something like that.
Yeah. Whenever I can get in.
What do you typically have done?
Usually like the ultimate beardsmith, so like a haircut and then trimming up the beard. Everything gets ready at the same time for me. So,
that's nice.
Yeah.
How did you hear about the place? Was it word of mouth? Were you looking for a beardsmith? Because this is a term I'm very new to.
Yeah, no. I started out trying to trim my own beard, but it's really hard to like figure out how to line it up, and like everybody's just kind of different. So I started looking for an actual barbershop, and there's like hardly any around here. So then that's when I ran into the beardsmith. That was back when they were at their old location. And I called them up, set an appointment, and it just kind of went from there.
Have you always had a beard?
No. It was actually in the past, like, 4 years?
What happened? Why is the beard popular again?
I don't know. I just started to be like, I don't want to shave anymore. What's having a beard like? It's actually kind of nice. I like it. The wife likes it. We're good.
I feel like that's the other piece of the puzzle, because if I could grow mine out like you, I think I would. I'm not sure if she would get on board, especially too, because I feel like I have kind of a weak chin. And so something that could cover that up would be kind of nice, but I'm not sure she would get on board.
Women, the wives and the girlfriends are our biggest fans. They send their guys in to us, and then it's kind of like, really, I get to do this, you know? And it's like the men's version of a woman going to get her nails done or whatever, you know?
That's what I was thinking. It's kind of like maybe guys have always been curious about facials and stuff, but now you finally feel comfortable in this kind of space to embrace it.
Safe space.
There's like an old school culture with it too, that like, you know, you see like the old films of people going in, getting a shave. It's kind of like our version of that, you know, to treat yourself moment.
Yeah. Treat yourself, that's nice.
And they gave me a free beer. I was like, all right.
Okay.
And then when they actually cut my hair right, which like a lot of people have trouble for some reason, I don't know, but it actually looked good. And I was like, yes, let's do this.
Education in hair is like a huge thing for me. And so learning how to do these cuts that you see behind you, the Scorum Barbers of Rotterdam, they're a huge influence for us. And I actually went to Rotterdam in the Netherlands and learned from them directly and took a master barber course from there. And that's my old school thing right there.
Oh, shut up. That is cool.
So,
I'm not taking a picture. That was,
that is nice.
Those guys, I actually work for them now. So I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I go around and teach people how to, you know, teach barbers and cosmetologists how to cut men's hair the way they do. With Ruzel Pomade, the Ruzel company, so it's just, it's like, a, I don't know, it all, just all kind of works, so.
So we let Wendy get back to her customer and walk around the shop a little bit, and we find ourselves wanting to talk to more customers, but feeling a little tentative.
I
I'm trying to...
You know, it's funny because, like, I think a lot of times, and I think about this about hair salons, but barbershops, I guess, too, it can be, like, a very intimate experience. You know, you see the same barber, the same hairstylist, and you guys talk about things, so...
It totally is.
I feel a little more intrusive than usual going into these places,
yeah.
Because I feel like I'm, like, third wheeling in a relationship.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that beforehand. I have no regrets, but I'm a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like when you get your hair cut and then they, you know, if they shampoo your hair,
yeah.
You don't necessarily want someone watching you shampoo your hair.
Yeah.
Or somebody shampooing your
hair. There's currently a guy, it looks like he was just petting that guy's beard. I'm sure he's styling it or putting something in
yeah.
it. But it was like
never
some
had
stroking.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would probably feel very nice.
Yeah. Huh?
Good job. You look sharp.
I know. Right?
I like it.
The people leaving do look very sharp.
They do. Would
yeah.
you come get your hair done here?
Yeah, I would. Well, it makes me want to grow, again, it makes me want to try to grow it out, but at the same time, that's like a pretty big investment for me.
Isn't it? You don't have to do a lot.
No, it's not. It's a time investment and a commitment.
Time?
It's
don't you just like sleep and wake up and there's more, and then you sleep and wake up and there's more?
It's itchy.
Oh, there
while.
Probably is that stage.
Yeah.
I get that
yeah.
too.
And then your significant other going, what's the plan here? What you doing there? It is a really actually the way that it's set up is really really nice, and I don't want to think that I can be. To be bought so easily,
but
I do like it's kind of like down my. I'm like, oh, I like all the wood, and I like the horns on the wall, the long horns, and I like the brick walls, and I don't know the old signs. So I don't.
It's
got
a good vibe.
Yeah.
Next, we talk to Ariana, another one of the barbers/stylists. She's very well-spoken and is one of those people who has obviously thought a lot about the industry she works in and how it's changed over the years.
When I started barber school, I had no interest in beards.
Okay.
I kind of got here through association. My husband is a barber here.
Okay.
And he actually went to school with Wendy, the owner. And then we adopted our son, and I wanted to work part-time but not full-time. And so I worked reception for about a year, and that way I could still, you know, be in the industry, but, you know, not full time. And then, you know, I just, after watching all these beards and after beard, plus the quality of work that comes out of this place is just a lot higher. You know, there's a lot more dedication. Everyone has a time blocked off for them. It's not like Great Clips where everyone's in and out. 15 minutes is, you know, the maximum where most barbers or cosmetologists try to get you out of your chair before that.
Right.
Here, there was a lot of dedication towards it. I just fell in love with the beards. and it's insane watching somebody, you know, have like a full beard and then get it trimmed off. You know, the difference it makes guys look, I think, a lot more handsome. And then I was actually reading a study not too long ago that, and I could not tell you who it's from, but they were saying how men with beards come across as more trustworthy than men without beards.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, and it's kind of true. You know, you see all these men with these beards, and they just look so approachable. You know, you just want to go up and talk to them. I don't know why that is. You know,
grandfathers or something.
You know what? I've actually thought about that, right? So people like Santa Claus, right?
Yeah.
He's got a big old beard. He comes across as more approachable.
Abraham Lincoln,
honest Abe, right?
Yeah.
Whereas clean-shaven, what do you think of? Used car salesman, you know, some sort of person in a sales position. And every single person in a sales position, for the most part, you just instantly think they're against you, right?
Yeah.
Like they're trying to...
Talk
you
into something.
Yes, yeah. So I would, that would be my guess as to why that is, but... I don't know. It's kind of cool.
A big question that I had coming in here was, could a place like this, I mean, you guys really focus on the beard. Yes, you do like hair trims and stuff like that, but it's the beardsmith. Could a place like this have survived 20 years ago? Or has something changed in masculine culture or beard culture that has, you know, put the beard, the spotlight on the beard or facial hair in general?
Yeah, they're,
what do you
think?
I think it's been a transition. So back in the 70s, barbering almost completely died out because of the Beatles. Long hair came around and barbers didn't want to conform. They wanted to still do the short, you know, haircuts. And so more men started going to salons and cosmetologists to get their long hair trimmed. And then in the past, I would say 5 to 6 years, barbering has been getting more popular. And I think it's just this, you know, transition. It's become a lot more acceptable to become a barber. Even as being a female in the industry, it's different for sure. You have a lot of men that are still getting around to the idea of it. But yeah, I think everything's just a transition, you know?
So beards are in now?
I think beards are in now, you know, but it's the same thing with people wanted to grow beards before, right? But every job had to be, you had to be clean shaven. That was kind of the norm. Same thing with tattoos. You couldn't have tattoos. Now tattoos are you know, becoming more acceptable. Beards are becoming more acceptable. And I think it's about pushing the limits too. We get a lot of ex-military in here as well. And they've had a shave for 20 plus years, and all they want to do is grow out their facial hair. We call it the freedom beard. So, yeah, I mean, that would be my idea. I don't know if that answers it.
I didn't think about that, though, in the sense that the beard is becoming more acceptable. I think I'm thinking of it trendy as hipsters are making it trendy, but no, I think it's probably something a little deeper than that.
Well, and then maybe it was always there, but like you said, it's more acceptable to embrace it now.
Right,
so
like yeah, probably, if as an employer you're saying no beards, no tattoos, well, you're cutting your possible clientele in half.
Absolutely.
And you could be passing up on some really good employees that way. So
absolutely, it's just like the same thing with tattoos. Tattoos don't affect the way I'm going to do my job or how I'm going to perform. You know, if I was a doctor, I'm not going to be less able to save your life because I decided to get a tattoo. And I think it's the same thing with the facial hair. You know, you're not going to be any less of a worker because you have facial hair. You just enjoy it. You know, it's another way to express yourself. I think we're in a society, if you look at clothing right now is multi-generational influenced. And I think it's because it's a way to express yourself. We can do whatever we want now and make it work. As long as you're wearing that piece of clothing with confidence, you can wear it. And I think beards are the same way. Is they're all unique. It's another way to express yourself. You see the glitter beards. You see the dyed beards. You see the, you know, the beards with the beads in it. You know, all these different things. It's just another way to express yourself. And I think that's the culture we're becoming.
We finished by checking up on Wendy and John, the first customer we talked to, and seeing how his trim is coming along.
Yeah,
looking very, very nice, John.
On the flip side, it could be that you were looking really rough before.
I didn't want to say anything. But
I know, right? I wait too long all the time because I just wear a hat most of my days. So.
Cool. Well, thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah. Thanks.
Back in the truck.
Back in the truck.
I wish that I had a job there.
Yeah.
I liked the vibes. It was like really steadily busy.
I mean, it was busy enough. You totally could see them expanding then over there.
Yeah. And there's such an experience
beards.
With that.
Sure.
You know, I mean, sorry if my hairdresser ever hears this. I love my hairdresser, but I don't know. There's something exciting about that. Maybe it was just new to me, but good for them.
Here's my other quick thing that I noticed. We referred and they referred a number of times to the beards, as if it's like a group of people like the Plantagenets or like the Kennedys.
The beards.
The beards. What do you think it is about the beards?
Yeah, I don't know.
What about the beards?
That is funny.
So,
it's a little subculture.
Which
in
does
there.
Make it feel like then it's appropriate that they capitalize.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the Beardsmith.
The Beardsmith.
We went there.
Yeah, we went there.
We did that.
Yeah.
Okay, first takeaways then.
First takeaways. It was a really upbeat atmosphere, I would say. It's very busy, you know? Very, very busy. And maybe part of that, too, is that it is connected to this bar. You know, there's this garage door and there's a bar right there. And so you're getting almost kind of like a spillover from there, a spillover effect then too, because there was actually quite a few people in the bar.
What are we doing wrong with our
lives? I don't know.
That we're not there?
I don't know. For being a Wednesday afternoon,
gosh,
there was probably 10 people in the bar, you know, and they didn't look like retirees.
They did not.
What about you?
So driving home that day, and then maybe the day after, I've got beards on the mind. And I'm driving home, trying to keep my eyes on the road. But every time I see a pickup truck, I'm trying to look through the windshield at who is behind the wheel, because I'm just thinking about beards and who wears them and how did they, you know, suddenly become so popular again? Is that even a thing? And I would have to say 75% of people behind the wheel of a pickup truck were bearded men. And now the other 25% was like evenly split between clean-shaven men and women, which I find really interesting. And it got me thinking about, I think it was Wendy. Wendy said, like the stereotypes of beards, at least maybe before right now, homeless, lazy, hiding something, et cetera. Yeah. And then the other woman barber that we talked to, Ariana,
yeah,
she said beards now, she just read some research like that men like that are deemed more approachable, maybe trustworthy. More trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just started thinking about that because I'm seeing, you know, men in pickup trucks and just thinking of very manly things. And I don't know if we're quite there yet in terms of the beard being this like fully transformed symbolic thing. Because think about it. Can you think of in this day and age, like a politician with a beard that you would be okay with?
No.
Or that wouldn't strike you as odd?
I mean, I'd like to think that I'd be okay with that.
But it would totally.
But it would be very, very different. That would be absolutely an outlier.
Or like a lawyer or the guy right. that handles your money. Like, I think that those are still things that we're stuck in those ways. Of. I would definitely, even if I couldn't immediately identify it was because of the beard, I would just be like, something's different here.
Right, right. That's a good point. Okay.
Another small
thing. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I also wanted to point out, so when we went to India Fashion and Grocery and we were trying to choose a henna design for you.
Yeah.
You were very explicitly telling everybody how you're not the manliest man out there.
Yeah. I embrace it.
Yeah. And in no way embarrassed about it, nor should you be. But I think manly man Joel kind of came out here. You even used like a huskier voice when describing
the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. You were like into the wood. And yes, it was rustic. So it's funny what a place can
do.
The
horns on the wall. It was wood something. And the brick.
It was just a moment, a glimpse into a side of you that I don't think I've really ever been privileged enough to see.
So, central concern.
Central concern was, it was why now? And could a place like this have survived 20 years ago? And I think I asked this specific question to multiple people there, which I don't know if I'm allowed to do, but we write our own rules, so... Whatever, I did that.
Yeah, you just were right out with it. You're like, here's our central concern. I was like, that's supposed to be a secret.
Sorry. And I think that it was answered. I think that both Wendy and Ariana pointed to some sort of like societal shift. And it's not necessarily just to beards, but maybe just society being more acceptable of a lot of things like beards and tattoos and sexuality. Like there's just this shift and maybe less of a cultural authority telling you like, no, you shouldn't do this, or people just caring less. If you think about it, 20 years ago was a really different time socially, culturally. We didn't have things like the internet or social media to help things take off. I was thinking about it. Think of the popularity of No Shave November. I don't think anything like that would have caught fire so quickly without, you know, social media to kind of prop it up. And I hesitate calling it a trend because I really don't think it's a trend. I think it's more of a cultural shift. I don't think that beards are suddenly in. I think it's just people becoming more comfortable with them, or, you know, like more open-minded to people having beards, just like tattoos and piercings and et cetera.
I agree. And I think that would go into kind of my final takeaway on it, which is really that, and I think both Wendy and Ariana talked about this, is a shift. Because I agree with you. I don't think it is a fad. I think that there is something there about men being able to, feeling comfortable, embracing kind of not only a way to express themselves from an appearance perspective, but taking care of themselves in that way too, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that from a... That doesn't have to be, you know, from a, you know, Cosmo type of thing or anything like that, looking like men look in these certain magazines. It's just taking care of yourself and, I guess, embracing and being proud of the way you look, no matter how you look.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great segue into my final takeaway. And I was kind of doing this exercise and thinking as I was doing my, you know, inspection of pickup truck drivers, I was starting to think of, you know, what kind of man has a beard?
Right.
And it's a man who can have a beard. And that's not to say a man who can't maybe generate enough substantial facial hair to feel comfortable suiting, you know, wearing a beard. But it's like men who either don't have jobs or certain lifestyles that are telling them that they can't, or they've intentionally chosen to not live a lifestyle like that. You know, that's why I think there were a lot of pickup drivers with beards, because maybe they're like construction guys or roofing guys and they're their own boss. And when I started thinking about it like that, as like the beard as a way to maybe like stick it to the man, I kind of liked it. And I decided that,
oh, I like that.
Maybe as uncomfortable as body hair in general really makes me, I say beard on. I think that
beard on.
I think that that's a good way to go.
Yeah. Up with beards.
Up with beards.
The beards. Up with the beards.
I am in with the beards. I'm down with the beards. I'm all about the beards.
I like that. That feels, it does feel like it's a way to basically kind of stick it to, and maybe an outmoded view of these things, you know what I mean, of appearance and judging a book by its cover, I guess.
I'm all about that. I'm all about upsetting traditions and calling people out and just not letting things be the way they are because that's how they should be.
Yeah.
You know, like the or whoever they
are. Questioning it at least. Yeah. Whoever they are.
Screw them.
I know.
Wear that beard.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Good talk.
That was good. Really uplifting.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to You Know the Place. We'll see you next week. You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. A big thanks this week to Wendy and really the entire staff and customers at the Beardsmith. They were super welcoming, there were good vibes everywhere, and they really helped us think about the beards.
Ted Roms reach out to me from across oblivion. Like stone now.